And if this happens to be your first time, if you're online, what we want you to do is we want you to text BFAM to 94,000 so that way we can just send you an email telling you thanks for worshiping with us and give you a free gift as well that we want to send you. If you're here in person, what I'm asking you to do, if you wouldn't mind, there's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you or in your seat itself. And I want you to fill that out, and then you can take that to our Next Steps area at the end of service. We're not going to do anything with your information other than just send you a welcome email just telling you thanks for being with us today. One more time, church family, can we make some noise for all of our first-time guests? Amen. Amen. Well, so good to see everybody here, and I want to give a few big shout-outs. Number one, a big shout-out to our entire team, our kids team, who did a phenomenal job hosting and creating our B Kids promotional ceremony experience this past Friday night. Y'all make some noise for our phenomenal team. Friday night was so special, so powerful, so unique, and we're grateful to be able to celebrate all that God did. This past year, we know many students and families, it's been a difficult year, it's been a challenging year, it's been a different type of year, but by the grace of God, you made it through a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, virtual learning, online learning, you made it through the entire year. Come on, somebody, y'all make some noise. Parents, y'all make some noise. Salute to all the parents, all the teachers, administrators. Thank you so much for your drive and for your faithfulness and commitment and pouring into our kids this year. We are grateful for you. And a big shout out as well to always our phenomenal team of people who serve each and every week to create experiences like the one that we're in online and in person to come to worship God. And here's a cool thing that we announced last week. We announced the launching of our Bridging the Gap Scholarship that we are giving out. Come on, somebody, amen. Our Bridging the Gap Scholarship. And what we're doing with that is we're giving $2,000 away to two graduating high school seniors. So each one of those two seniors will receive a $1,000 scholarship. And here's the cool thing, anybody can apply. And so if you are a high school senior watching online, parents, if you have a high school senior, if you know any high school seniors, we want you to help us get the word out to them. Tell them to apply online so that way that they can have the opportunity to potentially receive this great gift. And then last but not least, you know, summertime, and we like to hang out around here at the Bridge, and we believe in connections, and we believe in relationships. And so every Sunday for the month of June, all the way up until July 4th, which is a Sunday after service, we are having kind of some refreshments on the lawn, some drinks and some chips, and music will be out there. And it's just a time for us just to hang out. So after service is done, for those of us who are in person, I don't want you just to dip out and rush out. I want you to hang around for a little bit, connect with some people, build some relationships, chop it up with people, talk with people, get to know people. After a year of being so disconnected, man, God desires that we be connected to one another. So take that opportunity just to connect with one another. So with that being said, we're going to get into the Word of God today. We're going to go to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. And as you turn there, we have been in this series for the past few weeks called Radical. Everybody say radical. Come on, I need you to say it like me. Say radical. And the whole point of this series, as we've been mentioning, is to help us to understand that God desires that we would live lives that go against the grain, that we are called to live differently, that we're called to live radically. There should be something different about how we live. And so last week we talked about radical generosity. And I gave us a challenge that God, because he's been generous to us, that we also should now live generous lives, that we should be people who give. We should be people who use our gifts to serve people. We should be people who use our abilities to serve others. And so I gave us three challenges. One, that for those of us who aren't, if you call the Bridge Church home and you're not already honoring God through your giving, through your tithing, I want you to take that step. I want to invite you on that journey of obedience to honor God with your finances by giving. But then also we talked about serving on a team. Making a difference, using the gifts that God has given you to serve others, but then also to make a difference in somebody's life by being a blessing to someone. And so if you missed that message, go online and check it out there. So James chapter 1, verse 12, and I'm just going to ask us just to stand for the reading of God's word, just one verse. I know we all have been standing, so I appreciate your participation. Participation is better than observation. But here's what James chapter 1, verse 12 says here in the scriptures. Blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So today, as we continue our series, our radical series, I'm calling today's message Radical Commitment. But the title I really want to preach today that I'm going to be going with today is Don't Quit. Come on, I want you to look at the person that you're standing next to and tell them, don't quit. Find somebody else in the room, tell them, don't quit. Online type, don't quit, don't quit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this worship moment. I pray, God, that you would speak to us, give us a word of encouragement, give us a word of strength. I pray that you would meet us where we are and guide us to where you've called us to be. I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You could be seated. Don't quit. If we could turn the lights up some, that would be helpful. Don't quit. And big shout out to all of our online family, wherever you're watching from. Let us know in the comments so we can celebrate you online. And for those of us who are here, if you haven't already shared the worship experience on Facebook or on YouTube, I want you to go ahead and click that share button so that way others can experience God's grace. So let me ask us a question really quick. I can't see us. Can we turn the lights up some? I just want to be able to see everybody's face really quick because I want to ask us a question. Have you ever experienced something in your life that was so difficult that it made you want to quit? Just by show of hands really quick. If you're watching online, can you give me a hand raise emoji? Have you ever experienced something in your life that was so hard, so challenging, that it made you want to give up? You know, one of the things that I grew up on when I was younger was wrestling. How many wrestling fans do we got in here? WWE fans. Back in the day, it was WWF. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And no, okay, no participants. All right, that's fine. But there was a match and an event that would oftentimes take place in the wrestling world called the I Quit match. And the whole point of this match was to get your opponent to quit at some point, to submit. And so they would torture each other, they would put each other in all these different types of holds and things of that nature for the sole purpose to get their opponent to quit. And when I think about that match, I think about how many of us, though we may not ever step into a wrestling ring in the WWE, I believe that we are living through the wrestling ring of life, where we find ourselves experiencing and encountering different moments that may cause us to want to quit. Somebody say, don't quit. Don't quit. And when I think about this as well, recently I kind of went on this journey, and a few friends of mine, a kind of a trainer of mine as well, but he's a close friend, but I've dubbed him as my official workout trainer. And I told him some goals physically that I wanted to kind of reach, and one of those goals was to be able to eventually bench press 225 pounds. Now for me, this is a big deal. For some of you all in here, it's like, oh, Pastor Edwin, that's nothing. I've been doing this since I was like four, right? But for me, I've never bench pressed 225 ever a day in my life. Had no need to. It's a basketball player. You know, I wasn't out here trying to look like, Aaron Donald from the Los Angeles Rams. You know, I wasn't out here trying to look like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. You know, I had no need for it. But I wanted to reach this goal in a certain number of time, or months, to hit 225. And when I tell you, family, that this was one of the most difficult journeys that I've ever been on. It was one of the most difficult journeys I've ever been on. Because there were so many times where I did not want to go to the gym. Some of us can identify with that, because how many of y'all could be honest, tell the truth, and shame the devil? You know you should go to the gym, but you just don't feel like it. Come on, be honest. Raise your hand if you know I'm telling the truth. I know I should, but I don't want to. And I don't want to wins out quite often over I know I should. And so there's so many times where I had to fight against going to the gym, and I didn't want to go. I didn't feel like it. And, you know, after days of working and things of this nature, and at the end of the day, having to put forth a lot of energy to go bang and clang, as some people would say it, and get on the treadmill and run this and do squats and do pull-ups. But the goal that I had required me to push past how I felt. So the goal was 225, which meant that in order for me to reach 225, it meant that I had to have some sense of, say it with me, commitment. It means I had to stay in there. So day after day, I'm going to the gym. Week after week, I'm going to the gym. And at first, I wasn't seeing a whole lot of progress. I felt like I was just kind of lifting the same weight and felt like I wasn't getting that far. But then a few weeks would go by, and I noticed that more plates were beginning to get added to the rack. So I went from like 155 to 165. And I had a friend of mine there. I've dubbed him my trainer in the gym. His name is Brian. And this brother be lifting like 345 plates on each side of the bar. I'm like, yo, fam, I ain't built like that. We built differently. But Brian every week was pushing me. Like, hey, bro, let's add five more. Like, you trying to kill me? Let's add five more. Let's add five more. And week after week, this continued, only to get to about a month ago, where on a Friday, he was like, hey, let's go for it. And I was actually by myself. And at this point, you know, I've never lifted 225, but I've been building up to this point. And I just kind of had this point on this day where I was like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. Brian's not here today, so if I die, you know, I love my wife, I love my kids, got life insurance, you know. I'm going to see Jesus today, but I'm going for it. And I got up under the bar, 245s on one side, 245s on another side, and got up under the bar, was taking deep breaths, breathing in, woo-sah, breathe in, breathe out, and lifted the bar. And to my surprise, did not just lift the bar off the rack, but pushed it up, not just once, but twice. Y'all would have thought that I hit the jackpot in that gym. I'm just like fist pumping. People are here looking at me like, yo, what this dude doing right now? So excited, so proud about it. I took a picture of it, sent this to some of my close friends right here. I don't know if you can really see it, but I sent it right there. Home dude over here, he looked like he was just kind of profiling in the background. He was kind of photobombing my shot. But I sent it to Ariel, sent it to close friends, sent it to my homie who was my trainer. He was like, bro, that's it. That's it. You know how you got those real extra people in your life? And they just like, real, yeah, bro, let's go. Like, he was saying this through the text message. It wasn't even like a voice. Let's go. It was like exclamation point after exclamation point. He was sending me all these memes. Let's go. So, you know, let's go. But why did I tell that story? Because there were so many moments where I wanted to quit and wanted to give up. And this doesn't happen if I quit and if I give up. And when I think about just my own personal experience, I think about the book of James chapter 1, because here in James chapter 1, James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus, is writing to believers here in Jerusalem, and he's writing to these Christian believers who happen to be Jewish in ethnicity. And it's interesting because the context is that the believers here were scattered due to all this persecution that they were facing. They had left their home of Palestine. They were living in other outside areas. The believers were poor economically. They were experiencing all this external stressors. They were being tempted to compromise their faith in Jesus and turn to the patterns of culture. The believers found themselves battling doubt, battling fear, battling discouragements. They found themselves battling inward despair because of external difficulties. Because of what was happening on the outside, it led to them experiencing difficulty on the inside. It led to them ultimately wanting to abandon their faith in Jesus and abandon their commitment to Jesus and abandon the ways of Jesus because of what they were facing on the outside. And when I think about what they were facing, I can't help but to think that many of us in here can identify with that. Because over this past year, all of us in here to some degree have experienced challenges, difficulties, hardships, stressors, trauma. We've been triggered in so many ways. We've experienced job loss. Family members have passed away. Our health has taken a hit. We've experienced some relational discontinuity, financial struggles. Students, some of you have felt alone and misunderstood during this season. Your marriage has gone through hard moments. All of us have gone through or maybe are currently going through hard moments right now. And I want us to understand something, that this isn't foreign to what Jesus says. Because in John chapter 16, if we could turn the mic down just a little bit, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says these words, "In this life, you will have much trouble." In this life, you'll have much trouble. Here's what he means by this. In this life, you're gonna have a lot of trouble. It's deep, right? In this life, you're gonna have to deal with a lot of craziness. In this life, you're gonna deal with a lot of difficulty and a lot of hardship. In this life, you are going to face unbelievable challenges and circumstances. And unfortunately, when these difficult moments happen, you know what it leads to? It leads to us wanting to quit. It leads to us wanting to throw in the towel. It leads to us wanting to just give up. It leads to us wanting to abandon the thing that God has called us to do. And don't get me wrong, there are some things right now that God does want you and I to quit. There are some habits that God wants us to quit. There are some practices that God wants us to quit. There maybe are some dysfunctional relationships that God wants us to quit. Why? Because they get in the way of us becoming who he has called us to be. But that's not the type of quitting I'm talking about. I'm talking about us facing the temptation to quit the things that God has called us to. I'm talking about us facing the temptation to abandon the vision, the values, the dreams, the goals, the aspirations, the relationships that God actually has brought and invested in our hearts to add value to our lives, but because of external things that are difficult, the temptation comes to quit. And if we could be honest, all of us have dealt with that in some capacity. Many of us in here, I believe, are facing moments where we want to quit. We want to give up. Many of us are being tempted right now to quit some things. Many of us right now, because it's so hard, you want to throw in the towel. You want to give up. You want to leave. You want to abandon the destiny that God has for us and for you because it's so hard. I want to quit this job because it's hard. It's not what I thought it was going to be. Which is interesting because we prayed for that job. Right? You know, one of the things that God one day kind of checked me on, I remember it was we were going from one child to another child. The transition from one to two for us was much more difficult than two to three. When we went to one to two, it was like, oh my gosh, it's like the gates of hell just opened up. It's like, this is hard. Whose idea was this? By the time we got to two to three, it was like, okay, we playing zone defense, we good, you know? But one to two was difficult. And I found myself at one moment kind of complaining, like, Lord, can I get some sleep? Ariel's, you know, she's stressed out with all this. And like Lord, and these kids, they're a blessing from you. Yes, they are. I know what the word says in Psalm 127, but right now it don't feel like it. And I remember God checked me one day son, this is what you prayed for. Why are you complaining about something at one point you were asking me for and praising me for? But now because it gets difficult, you want curse? Come on, don't look at me like that. Isn't that what we do? We ask God, God, would you enlarge my territory? But do you know what that means? That means if he's enlarging your territory, that means you have more territory to manage, which means it's going to be hard at time. What I've realized, all of us, myself included, we have a tendency to have what I like to call conditional commitments. We commit as long as it feels good. We commit as long as it's operating the way we like it to operate. But when it gets hard, we wanna quit. So we quit this job, thinking that the job is the issue. So we quit that job, we go to another job, then there something happens there, then we quit that job, and then we go to this job, and then we quit that job. Eventually, we have to look at the common denominator. Maybe it's not the job. Maybe it's the person who's applying and working this job. I know I ain't gonna get no amens. That's okay. The Lord already prepared me for this one today. I am your spirit, not just your pastor today, I'm your trainer. And just like I didn't like Brian, who was my trainer, and he was put five more on, bro. No, I don't. I don't like you right now. Some of you are not gonna like me after today, but that's okay. You're gonna get better because of it. Because oftentimes what we do is when things become hard, we quit and we throw in the towel. So we even take that into the spiritual realm. So we quit this church, we quit that church. We quit that church, then we quit this church. And now we begin to characterize, man, all these churches just got issues. No church is perfect because it's filled with broken people, including you. But if every time you go to a church, you say the same issue and you got something to complain about at every stop and juncture, maybe the church ain't the issue. No amens right now. Maybe it's me. Or go from this relationship to that relationship. Jump from here to there. Oh, I just need to move to another city to get a fresh start. But you taking the same you there though. Come on, don't get quiet now. Come on. I just need to get a fresh start. 3 months from now, you're gonna be talking about moving to another city. Maybe the issue isn't just what I've committed to. Maybe it's me. Maybe I have an issue that when things become hard, I quit. I throw in the towel. I give up. So when my friend, who I've said is my friend, tells me something that I don't like that's actually good for me, even if it don't feel good, I all of a sudden want to leave them. That's what friendship is. Unless you just wanted a co-signer. Y'all not helping me at all today. Maybe part of the reason that we are where we are right now, I believe that some of us, I'm going to just say this respectfully and lovingly, some of us right now are stuck in life because you keep quitting at the time where things get hard. Some of us are in a holding pattern. You know what a holding pattern is? It's a term that airlines use when landing can't take place, and they're just going in circles and in circles. So you go to a new place, but you're in the same pattern. You're in a new relationship, but you're in the same pattern. You're in a new job, but the same pattern. They don't like me at my job. The boss always has something to say about me. You get there late all the time. My last job, man, they just didn't understand schedule. No, they understood responsibility, and you didn't want to live up to it. So now they hold you responsible and accountable, and you want to leave. Because things, when they get hard, we oftentimes want to quit. And I believe that many of us, myself included, at times we have bought into the lie of the enemy, and we've quit. But here's the good news, church. Even when we quit, even if we quit, here is the good news, and I need you to get this in your heart. Even when we quit, Jesus never quits on us. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. Even when we quit, even when we give up, Jesus never quits. Jesus never gives up. The Bible says that even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. In other words, even when we're not committed, Jesus is. Jesus is so good to us that even when we quit on him, he doesn't quit on us. How do I know this to be true? Peter quit on Jesus 3 times in one moment. The Bible says he denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times he acknowledged the fact, I don't know this brother. I don't know who he is. You got somebody, you got me mixed up, homie. 3 times he denied him. 3 times he quit on him. But Jesus never quit on him. Because later on in scripture, the Bible says that Jesus then restored Peter. What does this tell us? Even if you have quit, the good news is there is grace from God through Jesus for you to still be able to move forward. I thought I would get a few more amens right there, because I know some of us right now, we have quit a lot of things and we've missed out on some of the things that God has for us. But the good news of God is that even if you have had commitment issues and you've given up on certain things, God says, I will give you grace to be able to still move forward in spite of all the things that you have done. This is what radical commitment looks like. That's the type of commitment that our Lord walks in. And just as Jesus is radically committed to us, he also wants us to be radically committed as well. One person says it like this, that commitment, write this down, is the ability to stick with something long after the initial excitement is gone. I'm gonna say it again. Commitment is the ability to stick with something long after the initial excitement is gone. In other words, long after the honeymoon feeling is gone, I still stay. I'm still committed. Y'all remember the vows that you oftentimes will hear at the wedding, in sickness and in health, for rich, for poor, till death do us part? That's commitment. It means that I'm committed, not just when things are well, but when things are not well. In other words, commitment is more than a desire. It is a decision. Do y'all know how many times I did not feel like lifting them weights? My flesh was like, nah, fam, I'd rather go to Chick-fil-A and get a number one. I'd rather just go home, chill on the couch, play with the kids, play outside with them, run around, play some 2K with them, all that. Get an amen for my kids. I'd rather do that. But the decision, commitment says, what I'm committed to is greater than how I feel. I'm driven by a goal more than a feeling. Let me help you understand something about your feelings. Feelings are good indicators, but terrible instructors. You can't let your feelings lead you. Have y'all heard that saying, follow your heart? It sounds good, but it's not biblical. Because what the Bible tells us to do is not follow our heart. Why? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 that above all things, the heart is deceitful. What the Bible does tell us, though, is to keep in step with the spirits. So I don't follow my heart, I follow the spirit. So I'm not emotionally driven, I'm spirit driven. And this has everything to do with my faithfulness and with my commitment. And one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. That's commitment. Somebody say commitment. Radical commitment means remaining faithful in spite of my feelings. Do y'all know how many times I have not felt like coming up here to preach? Can I tell y'all over the past year how hard it's been to preach at times? how hard it's been to preach? Were we trying to manage virtual learning at home? Trying to take care of the kids, make sure they're straight. And y'all know how, you know how hard it is to do that? You don't, because you've never done it before. But there's things right now in your life that you have also experienced that are hard and that are difficult. And your feelings in the moment are like, I don't feel like doing this. Anybody ever had a moment like that with something? I don't feel like going to work tomorrow. Some of y'all are saying that right now. You said that Friday. I don't feel like going to work on Monday. Been off since Friday. I do not feel like going back to work on Monday. Because our feelings make us aware of the struggle, but we're not meant to be instructed by them. I can't go off of my feelings. Because if I'm feelings driven, I will never accomplish the very thing that God has called me to accomplish. And James here gives the believers a pep talk on faithfulness and radical commitment. And I'm going to give us these few truths that he gives us. Now, number one, radical commitment is about this. It's about understanding that, number one, there is a rhythm of commitment. Somebody say rhythm. Notice what James says here in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test. Stop right there. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test. Blessed is the one who endures. Somebody say endures. Endures. Not endured. Endures. Not past tense. Present tense. Some of your translation says perseveres. What does this help us understand? That commitment is continual. It's constant. Commitment is sustained endurance. Commitment says that I'm not going to just show up one day. I'm going to show up every day. Commitment says I'm not just loving you one day as a spouse. I'm loving you every day. I'm enduring. I'm persevering. I'm pushing. And the reason why this is so important is because we are in a culture, let's be real, can be honest with me, we live in a culture where quitting is celebrated. And in many ways, quitting is encouraged. You don't like your job? Quit. Go get another one. You don't like your marriage? Quit. Get another one. You don't like your kids? Quit. Go find some other ones. We live in this culture where quitting is encouraged. But God's desire for the believers, for the church, is that we would be a people who are committed. Let me say it like this. Cultural commitment always looks for an exit. Radical commitment looks for ways to endure. Say it again in case you didn't get it. Cultural commitment is always looking for the exit. Radical commitment, the way that God talks about in Scripture, is always looking for ways to endure. So culture says, when it's hard, give up. But that's not gospel. How do I know that? How do you know that's not gospel, Pastor Edwin? Because Jesus had many opportunities to quit, to go to the cross, but he didn't. In Matthew chapter 26, around verse 38, the Bible says that he went to the garden and he went to go pray to the Father. And do you know what he said? Right before he would go through this unbelievable amount of pain that nobody in human history has ever experienced for the sins of the world, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not my will. Let yours be done. And the Bible says he prayed this prayer three times. What was Jesus tempted with? He was tempted by the enemy to abandon the call that God the Father had given him with coming to earth to save us from our sin. He said, look, this thing is hard, but not my will. Let yours be done. In other words, here's what I'm saying. Jesus could have quit. And you know what's crazy? What he was going to suffer for had nothing to do with him. He was going to suffer for us. It's one thing to endure for yourself. It's another thing to endure for people who don't deserve the reason you're enduring in the first place. That's love right there, family. That's grace right there. That's why the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you ever hear Jesus complain about the cross? No. Did you ever hear Jesus complain about getting beat 40 plus times with the lashings? No, not one bit. Did you ever hear Jesus complain about Peter and them turning their backs on him? Not one bit. He was committed. But Pastor Edwin, I said this a few weeks ago, Pastor Edwin, but he was God in flesh, Pastor. He was 100% human, which means he felt everything that we felt. The Bible says that he can identify with us because he was tempted in every way just like us, which means he, as we have been tempted to quit, Jesus too has been tempted to quit. But notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What does this mean? Jesus was able to endure the cross because he was more committed to his call than his comfort. He was committed to his call more than his comfort. And here's what I've realized, and I can say this about myself too. We don't have commitment issues. We commit to a lot of things. Commitment is not our issue. The issue is, what are we committed to? Like, seriously, me going to the gym, us going to the gym, is the reason why you don't go is not because you have commitment issues. You're committed to eating all you want. I mean, let's call it what it is. I'm more committed to Dairy Queen than these dumbbells. Right? The issue isn't commitments, because we commit to plenty of things. And whatever you're committed to, you will sacrifice for. You will invest time into. You will give money to. You will give resource to. You will give ability to. So the issue is not commitment, it's what you committed to. So if I'm committed to better health, then it's going to change the way I eat. Somewhat. It's going to change what I do. If I'm committed to having a healthy marriage, it's going to change how I talk to my spouse. It's going to change how I spend time. It's going to change how I spend energy. If I'm committed to my kids, it's going to determine if I'm going to work all these hours to try to provide for them, not realizing that they care more about my presence than provision. Not that provision is not important, but presence is most important. It's all about what I'm committing to. And I believe that God wants us to reorient what we're committed to. That we would get a proper order to commitments. So Pastor Edwin, what are we supposed to be committed to? Let me give it very simple. Committed to Christ, committed to his call. Committed to Christ, the person of Jesus, committed to following him, and committed to what he's called you to. And what he's called you to, there are some universal elements of that. We love God, we love people, but then also there's unique elements. So all of us in here have specific things that God is calling each and every one of us to be committed to in retrospect of what he has called us to. But I want to also say, there's going to be moments, church family, where you are going to be tempted to quit. But you got to endure. You got to push. It's not always going to be easy. Not one bit. There's going to be days where you don't want to show up. There's going to be days where you don't want to invest time. There's going to be days where you don't want to invest energy. There's going to be days where you don't want to sacrifice, but I'm here to let you know that's part of commitment. I got to be willing to endure. Here's what James chapter 1 earlier, verse 2 says. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Why is this so important? Because some of us are in a place of arrested spiritual development because we quit too soon. We are malnourished spiritually and in life not because we don't have the potential, it's because we lack the perseverance. The creator of the heavens has placed something in each and every one of us and people watching online to change this world. You have unlimited potential. But the difference between potential and promise is perseverance. The difference between this person getting to where God wants them to be and this person getting to where God wants them to be is whether or not this person will be persevering. Can you endure? One of the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Can you suffer for a long time? We don't like that because we're allergic to anything that hurts. We want everything in life to be peaches and cream. We want everything in our life to be roses and sunshine. We want everything in our life to be pleasant. But God says you got to live through some stuff, fam. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? Any person who wants to follow me, you know what they got to do? Deny themselves, pick up their own cross, follow me. You know what he's saying? You're going to have to suffer. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to sacrifice to get the results that everybody wants, but nobody gets. You have to be willing to do something that nobody else does. You got to be willing to persevere. And the question I want to ask us is this. Are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to endure a little bit? Are you willing to endure being talked about by people and being misunderstood by people to get to what God has for you? Are you willing to be betrayed to get to God's blessing? Are you willing to be left alone for a season maybe to get to where God wants you to be? Because being underdeveloped is always the byproduct of quitting. And many of us are here. We just quit too soon. Come on, I'm coming down your street right now. Some of us, the reason why you have not got that degree yet is because, not because you're not smart, it's because you quit. Some of you have, I'm talking, some of you got dreams out the wazoo on your iPhone right now in your note app. But the reason why they have not come to reality yet is not because you lack the potential, it's because you lack the perseverance. The reason why some of us have not tapped into the fullness of God yet is not because God doesn't have great things, it's because he can't make you persevere through something you don't want to go through. Somebody say endurance. Come on, I'm your spiritual trainer today. I told you it's going to hurt a little bit, but I'm here to push us. Do you want to know how the baby comes out? I've seen three traumatic moments in my life. Traumatized. The third one was really crazy. My God. In order for that blessing of the child to come out, there has to be an enduring of pain. Come on, mamas, y'all know what I'm talking about. All the moms in here, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you had an epidural or not, you know what that pain someone feels like. What those contractions feel like. What the pressure feels like. Come on, online, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Guys, you can't understand it. I can't understand it. But all the ladies in here who have ever given birth, and if you've given multiple births, you know what that feels like. That in order to get here, which is holding the baby in my arms, I got to push. I gotta endure some pain. And I am here sent by God to be your spiritual coach to tell you, keep pushing. Keep pushing. Come on, breathe. Come on, breathe, but push. Come on, you need some ice chips? Come on, you need some help? Come on, you need to hold my hand? Push. Because the only way you will step into the fullness of God's promise is if you are willing to push. That's the only way. The only way you could become fully who God has called you, you gotta push. Do you not know that that's what Jesus had to do on the cross? Had to push through the anxiousness, push through pain, push through people misunderstanding me, push through temptation to quit, push. That's what commitment is all about. Can you push through the pain? Can you push through the discomforts? Will you quit just because you don't like the way it's going? Or will you push? Will you quit just because this person offended you? Or will you push? Will you push? Will you quit because someone disagreed with something you said? Or will you push? Will you push? That's the question I'm gonna ask us. Are you gonna push? Or are you gonna quit? You gonna quit? Or are you gonna push? You gonna push? Or are you gonna quit? I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to us right now. You gonna quit or you gonna push? What you gonna do? If I was on a basketball court, talking to some of my homies playing, what you gonna cry about it or you gonna push through it? Because we trying to win. We got a victory in mind. We got a goal in mind. And God has given us everything that we need to take captive what he's given us and to take hold of what he's given us. The only thing he wants us to do is push. So, some of y'all might not like me for this, but it's okay. You can be spiritually soft in this moment. Or you can dig down and you can push through it. We live in a time where Jesus has been muted to some degree when it comes to history. Do you not realize that Jesus was a carpenter? Which means for a living, what our Lord did was lift heavy things. He lifted heavy things on a regular basis. Jesus more than likely was chiseled, veins popping out of arms. Not the Jesus that you see on pictures and paintings with the flowy perm hair. They didn't even have perms back then. Not the Jesus with the soft blue eyes and the red cheeky cheeks. He was a Middle Eastern Palestinian Jew. How, fam? It's another sermon for another time. Jesus was not soft. Our Lord was not soft. He pushed through hard moments. And he says, if you're going to follow me and tap into the greatness that I got for you, you're going to also have to push through hard moments. You gotta push. You gotta push. Which means you gotta pray, you gotta fast, you gotta dig in the word. It means you can't quit, it means you can't give up. And what I've realized, family, myself included, we love the product of commitment, but not the process of it. So we love the idea of bench pressing 225, but we don't love the idea that it may take 3 months to get there. That it's gonna take 3 months of commitment and changing the diet and being disciplined. Do you wanna know the reason why many of us flame out too quickly? It's because we lack discipline. We know what we should do. We just lack the discipline to do it. This is perseverance. Radical commitment is about being able to endure hard moments. And I'm looking at a room full of world changers, that you all are listening online. You are a world changer, and God sent me here on assignment to tell you, don't you dare quit. Blessed are those who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, and that original translation of the Greek New Testament here, it means gold that is being purified. And the way that gold is purified is it is put under high intense degree of temperature. In other words, in order for God to get us to where he wants us to be, he has to turn up the temperature. He has to turn up the trial. Now, hear me when I say this. God does not allow us to go through discouragement, to go through difficulty to discourage us. No. He uses our difficulties to develop us. Which leads me to my next point, the reward of commitment. Because he says, blessed are those who persevere in under trial, because when they have stood the test, what does he say happens next? They will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What am I trying to help us understand today, church family, online, in person? I want you to understand that when you persevere, that on the other side of your perseverance, there was a promise from God. That on the other side of you pushing, there was a promise from God. That on the other side of your endurance, there was a promise from God. That on the other side of your trials, there was a promise from God. That on the other side of your difficulties, there was a promise from God. And that if you continue to push and if you continue to persevere, you will receive everything that God has for you. There is a reward. Reward for your faithfulness. There is a reward for your commitment. God has something great for you on the other side of your hardship. And I need us to get this, because there is no suffering or sacrifice for God that is ever in vain. This is why Jesus says, those who suffer with me will also reign with me. James says they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That the ultimate reward of experience of being committed and persevering is us experiencing God's presence and God's promise here on earth, but more specifically for all of eternity. God always rewards faithfulness to him. Always. Somebody say always. Here's what Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we quit, right? We'll reap at the proper time if we throw in a towel. We'll reap at the proper time if we give up. No. He says we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of showing up, because you will reap at the proper time if you don't give up. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says this, therefore we do not give up. Therefore we do not give up. Some of us need to hear that. Therefore we do not give up. Don't you dare give up. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you quit. I know it's hard, and I know it's difficult. And I know you're crying yourself to sleep, and I know you're praying about it, and I know you've been fasting about it, and I know you've been stressed out about it, but don't quit, don't give up. Because Paul says it like this, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Watch what he says next. For our momentary light affliction, our momentary and light affliction, which means the hardest thing that you're going through right now in context to God's strength is light and momentary. The job situation that's hard right now is actually light and momentary. The relational issue that you're having right now, light, momentary. And watch what he says next. It is producing for us an absolutely incomparable, eternal weight of glory. Watch this next. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And this past year has been exhausting for us. It's been hard. I've had conversations with many of you here who are here and online, and I've heard your struggles and been praying with you and been fasting with you and been walking through the struggles with you. But I'm here to bring you some good news to let you know today. It is light and it is momentary, and it is achieving something for you that far outweighs whatever it is you are feeling right now. I'm here to let you know that God has great things in store for your life, that on the other side of all of the stress, there is a promise, that on the other side of all of your pain, there is something that great God has for you. And all he's saying is if you can hang in there, and if you can be faithful, and if you can persevere, and if you can endure, and if you can go through, and if you can push through, you will see it come to pass. God has more for you. There is a promise on the other side of my perseverance. He has a reward on the other side of your commitment. There's fulfillment on the other side of your endurance. Let me ask you this. Do you want comfort or do you want fulfillment? Because if you want comfort, go ahead and quit whatever it is that you're thinking about quitting, that God has not told you to quit. But if you want fulfillment, the key to that is persevering. persevering. And I believe that all of us in here want to live a fulfilled life. And he says the key to living fulfilled lives is persevering. It's pressing through. It's showing up and sacrificing. It's not giving up. Because on the other side of my perseverance, I know that God has something for me. I don't quit. So I believe that what God is calling some of us to do, there are some things in here that you quit that you were not supposed to quit. And you know it. Don't lie. You know exactly what it is. And I believe that God is calling you today. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. There are certain things that you have thrown down and thrown away that God didn't tell you to do. God is saying to some of us, go back. Go back and get it. But Pastor Evan, what if I can't go back and get it because that opportunity is past? What this means now is you get up from where you are and you tap into whatever it is that God has called you to lead, to pursue. It means that you are going to live with the mentality that I'm not going to quit on what God has for me any longer. I'm not going to give up on that child. I'm not going to give up on that spouse. I'm not going to give up on this job just because it gets hard. I'm going to leave when God tells me to leave, and I'm going to stay as long as he tells me to stay. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to continue to persevere because I know on the other side of that, God has something good for me. Going to persevere. You've gone through disasters. You've lost loved ones. You've lost jobs. You've lost relationships. But I'm here to let you know that God is with you. Romans chapter 8 verse 35 says it like this. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can afflictions or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How do we endure the trials of life? You want to know how? We lean on Jesus. How do we get through the hard moments? We lean on Jesus. How do we get through the difficult moments? We lean on Jesus. How do we get through the job loss? We lean on Jesus. How do we get through the heartache? We lean on Jesus. How do we get through the betrayal? We lean on Jesus. Because Jesus endured the cross for me. Now in him, I can endure whatever it is that I'm going through. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can endure. And some of you are here and y'all looking at me in the face right now, and I've been preaching, I'm sweating all up under here, and some of you still haven't got it because this mentality of quitting has been embedded in you by the culture and by the lies of the enemy. But I believe in Jesus' name that if you would open up your hearts and your minds to the great things that God has for you, you will begin to say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting because I know that God has something. Jesus didn't stop. I'm not going to stop. Jesus didn't quit. And he's given me his spirit. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I read a stat the other day that said about 4 million people quit their jobs in the month of April. Don't know the circumstances. Didn't give a whole lot of context. But 4 million people quit their job. And I'm not saying that some of those reasons may not have been valid. But here's what I do believe is happening. I believe that we live in this time. And I want to close with this thought. We live in this time now where because things are so hard, we just want to quit. But I hear God saying to you today, stay committed. Don't quit. I got more for you. I got great things in store for you. There is a business idea that God has put in some of you today, and you quit on it. God says, pick it back up. But I'm past my prime, Father. I don't have the resources. You got me. Pick it back up. Some of you are tempted right now to give up on a family member. They just don't get it. No matter what I say, they do the opposite. God says, don't quit. Because I didn't quit on you as your father. Don't you quit on them. Some of us are going through some hard moments right now. And you want to quit. But God says, no. Don't quit. There is a reward on the other side of your commitments. Don't quit. And I just believe that the message that many of us need to hear in this season is don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit on the dream that God has given you. Don't quit on the vision that God has given you. Don't quit on the family that God has given you. Don't quit on the purpose that God has given you. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't entertain the thought. Don't quit. Don't. 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 Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I had to tell myself day after day lifting weight. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. It's hard. Don't quit. Arms are shaking. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Teachers, don't quit. It's a young person's life that you're going to change because of your faithfulness. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet. Don't quit. Don't quit. Know you want to abandon. Dig in. Dig in. Don't quit. God has so much for you. And the only way the enemy wins is if you quit. It's the only way. Don't quit. Don't quit. And I believe that some of you are here today. And you came in here, made up in your mind that you're giving up. But I believe that God has sent me to you today as your spiritual trainer to tell you, don't you dare quit. What you're doing is making a difference. Don't quit. Your sacrifices are not in vain. Don't quit. Your prayers are not in vain. Don't quit. Your fasting is not in vain. Don't quit. You showing up on time is not in vain. Don't quit. Stay committed, because on the other side of that, God has great things for you. I'm going to ask us with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. Could you be honest with me in this moment? If you're in a place right now where you're struggling to persevere, you've wanted to quit. You've even thought about it. You're at that place right now. You wanted to quit. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. It's just you and God in this moment. But could you be honest in this moment and say, if this is you, I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I don't know what it is that you wanted to quit and give up on. But if this is you, you're like, man, Pastor, I wanted to quit so bad. And I feel like quitting right now. Could you be honest and just raise your hand right now? You feel like quitting? Things are so hard right now. Thank you for being honest. I believe transparency leads to transformation. I believe right now in this moment, God is with you, and He knows you. He knows the struggle. He knows the suffering. He's with you right now. He's here to comfort you. He's here to strengthen you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here in this place and online who right now is battling feelings of quitting. They want to give up. They've been faithful, they've been giving time and heart and energy, and it seems like nothing has been changing. But I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen their hands, that you would strengthen their legs, that you would strengthen their feet, that you would strengthen their minds. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give them the strength to endure. to endure hardship, to endure pain, to endure difficulty. I pray, Jesus, she would give them the strength they need to persevere. Because on the other side of their perseverance, you have a promise for them. So, Lord, I pray that you would comfort them in times of discomfort. And I pray, Father, that from this day forward, that this sermon, this moment, this worship experience is the push that they need to persevere. In Jesus' name, my head's about and eyes are closed. If you're here today, I want you to know this, church family. If you're here maybe the first time, you don't know Jesus, I want you to know this. You will never be able to persevere on your own. You need a supernatural strength to get you through difficult moments. And that strength does not come from within. That strength comes from above. It comes from Jesus. And the only way you will be able to get through the dark moments that you are going through right now is through Jesus. Not by willpower. Culture says, believe in yourself and you'll get through. Jesus says, trust in me and I'll get you through. So if you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus, you've never said yes to Jesus, and you want him as your strength, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me life. Thank you for new life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your strength. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, let's put our hands together for the strength of God. Come on. Come on. Anybody going to persevere this week? Anybody pushing? Come on, I need us to do better than that. Anybody going to keep on running on? Keep being faithful. And can we bless God for all those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on, let's make some noise for them.
Amen. If you made that decision today, we are cheering for you both in person and online. Can we make some noise? Because that person made a decision today to follow Christ so that they can have the strength to not quit. Amen. And so that's a big deal. So we're celebrating with you. And you can text I decided to 94,000 if you're watching us online. And our team has some next steps for you. If you're joining us in person, you can text that or you can pick up one of those connection cards in the back of the seat in front of you and fill that out. But anybody just feel like that just gave you the motivation to maybe just keep going in some area of your life? Maybe. That's why I love Sundays. I opened up service talking about how much I love Sundays because we can come into a room and be seen by a God who loves us so much. And so for you, this might have been the last straw. This might have been you were at your wit's end. You were like, I'm over it. Whatever the it is, you were over it. But God saw you and saw you in the middle of that and said, no, I need to give you that encouragement this morning to not quit. So that is why I love Sundays, and I pray that you felt that as well. Some next steps for us, if you are joining us and you would like to give today, you can do that. You can fill out we have some envelopes in the back. You can put it in the bucket outside, or you can give on our website. If you scan the QR code, options come up for you to be able to give. But that's an opportunity for us to just show our commitment to God in a tangible way and being able to sow our finances. And then after service, right when we're done out here on the lawn, if you're here in the room, we are having a party on the lawn. Anybody want to grab some sodas, some popcorns? There's cornhole, there's bubbles and checkers and all kinds of games out there. So take a moment. Don't just leave and run out, but take a moment. Just say hi to some folks. Take your mask off. Breathe well and play and have some fun. Amen. All right. Well, let's just get ready to go. Let's center our hearts and prepare. Lord, we just thank you again. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be known, to be seen by you, Lord. We believe that you have given us what we need to be able to persevere, to be able to push through, and to make it through the week ahead, Lord. So we thank you for that. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family, have an awesome week.